And we are going to talk very, very extensively about cancer. Most people that are coming on the call tonight are interested to hear about cancers, treatments, options, what really to do, juicing, all of that kind of stuff. So we're going to delve right into a lot of this. First of all,
Joe and Karen.
Okay, thank you. Yep, thank you. And so if everybody could just do the star or...
I'll take care of that, Ron. I'll take care of that.
I have to do that. But anyway, I'm Dr. I'm still trying to get in the mode. I'm just coming up to this phone call and trying to get people into this call.
Muted.
I'm the founder of the company and also the formulator of all the Enriching Gifts product line. But I also have Dr. Tom Brewer on here, who's a PhD chemist, and we've been working together for a lot of years.
Unmuted.
And he's kind of the person that manages the e-commerce website business. So if anybody ever has any problems, I'm trying to get onto the page, process, sort of things like that. There's his numbers on our website, and that would be the person you call to take care of the e-commerce business. So with that being said, Tom, do you have anything real quick before we get started tonight?
No, I know I can see there's a lot of people on the call, and I had mentioned in the newsletter that we're going to be talking about cancer tonight, and I didn't see any other questions on the website. I didn't see anything specific. So I think we're all set to get started.
Okay. So let me go ahead and give you a little bit of background and my take on cancer. You know, I just had people up here at my training center up by Fort Peck, Montana, just this last Saturday. And I had some people the week prior to that up here. And I've had at least 5 different phone calls from 5 different states, just this brand new people that have been referred, heard about me, so on and so forth. So I've talked to 7 people this week alone that have been starting to deal with issues of different forms of cancer. And I've been dealing with cancer probably as long as I can remember. My really close aunt, Edna, she passed away from cancer, even though my genetics threats to me are tremendous heart disease and strokes, heart attacks. Those are my issues and my genetics that are the dominant in my body. So the first thing I want everybody to understand is cancer, it's all the same thing. It's a DNA damage mutation that causes accelerated, uncontrollable growth beyond the natural body's cellular growth capability. And cancer doesn't infect and destroy other cells. Cancer crowds out other cells because of the mass reproduction rate compared to normal healthy cells of the human body. So they crowd it out, they suffocate it, and that's where a lot of this mutation comes and where this cancer growth spreads once it's in an organ or a part of the body. So hopefully everybody understood what I just said. Because there's all of these misnomers and myths that somehow a cancer cell infects another healthy cell and this and that directly. No, it doesn't. It doesn't change any enzymatically thing. It doesn't damage in a typical way you would think of damage occurring in the body. So just really want everybody to understand cancer, regardless of where it exists in the human body, it basically is all the same effect on a cell. The only difference between brain cancer, pancreatic cancer, lung cancer, prostate cancer, and breast cancer is where does the cancer exist in the tissue part of the body? It's all the same. Cancer is all the same throughout any part of your body. But because of different areas, some of it's faster growing, some of it's untreatable, some of it's inoperable. There's just because of the location or the organ and area of the body that's affecting. So that's why you have medical doctors with so many different modalities of treatment. Well, we can radiate this one. We can do chemo with this one. We have to cut this one out. Oh, no, we can't touch that because it's too much of the organ, and you need that organ. So one of the first things that I focused on as a very young man in my late 20s was enzymes. And I ran into a company after I'd moved to Phoenix or Scottsdale, Arizona, in the late, real late 80s, 89, I think, 88, 89, and really got a great handle and understanding, way more than I ever thought I knew about enzymes. And once I understood to that great in-depth about the significance and importance in enzymes, not just in the human body, but in any form of life that exists on the planet Earth. No form of life, not a bacteria, not an amoeba, nothing can exist unless it's enzymatically driven. And so in my mind, I thought, wow, if you can understand and control enzymes, you can understand and control life in any form. Grass out on your lawn, trees growing, the brain, the human functioning of the human body. And so early on, too, going through, I really wanted to become a physical therapist and a sports medicine doctor, so I had a little bit of initial training in that area, but within just a matter of a couple months, once I understood drugs and drug application, drug therapies from the typical allopathic modality side of things, I decided that didn't make sense for me. It still doesn't make much sense today other than a real traumatic injury such as a car accident or something like that, or your heart's completely stopped. That's where you want a doctor and drugs. Treating arthritis, treating cancers, treating memory loss, dementias. Drugs inhibit your body's ability to function cellularly. They inhibit all the enzymes that carry out cellular functioning. So if you want to thin the blood, inhibit the enzymes that coagulate the blood or thicken the blood. You want to thicken the blood, inhibit the enzymes and the nutrients that actually activate those enzymes that thin the blood. You want to lose weight, you want to do this, you want to do... All this can be manipulated by shutting down different aspects of enzyme functioning within the cells of the human body. So that's what drugs do. There's not one single drug anywhere in the world, whether it's prescription, medical, or scientific use, all drugs, if it's categorized as a drug, it's categorized as an enzyme inhibiting factor. It shuts down the ability of your enzymes to carry out cellular functioning tasks. And that's what your body's genetics were designed to do. So you're making it harder for your body to balance itself, to function, to heal itself, to reproduce itself. All of these things are being inhibited and slowed down anytime you're using the word drug. So that's the first thing that never made sense to me. How are you ever going to allow the human body to heal itself or recover from a severe disease like cancer? How is that ever going to be able to occur if the drugs you're using is inhibiting its ability to function and perform those rehabilitation, those protecting tasks at a cellular level? Doesn't take much common sense to figure out, well, that's not much time and effort I want to put into that kind of a thought process. But it is the main process of the healthcare system in America and, unfortunately, worldwide for that matter. And I know I've traveled the entire world, been in every single country on the entire planet Earth, but six, with any kind of a government or ministry of health. And, drugs are king. Pharmaceutical companies got all the money, and so they have all the lobbying efforts. And unfortunately, that's all you're going to get exposed to most of the time. But there is a whole lot of people out there, not just the only one, but there are quite a few people now definitely that won't have anything to do with drugs. I'd much rather do the natural way. And when I say natural, I'm talking about the way that's in alignment with the way the body cellularly functions. You're not inhibiting anything. In fact, you're actually saturating the body with nutrients that are very target-specific to very specific immune cell functioning as well as to the overall reproductive functioning of any cell in the human body. Saturate it with nutrients. In order to do that, you have to be able to digest what you're consuming, regardless of whether it's a supplement or an organic food source. How clean a food source is doesn't really matter at all. Now, I know a lot of you guys are going to get PO'd at me, but this is the facts. Most organic, cleanest, richest, most nutrient-dense food on the planet, and put it inside your body. And if you don't have enough enzymes to fully digest that, to process it through the body, all you did is added toxicity. All you did is compromise your immune system's ability to function. You didn't do nearly what you thought you were going to do, what you paid huge amounts of money to do, and you're certainly not going to get the effects that you thought you were going to get. And that's how all of this cancer, in fact, I make a living at this. I can track any single degenerative disease from the end point where you're losing your memory, like Alzheimer's and dementia, and you're losing your ability to walk and all this other stuff. I can track and reverse progress every one of those diseases, and it's all going to come back to, it's not even so much about what you eat. You've lost the ability to digest and process what you consume as a food and a nutrient source. Every single disease can be traced right back to that. And that process actually starts when you're about 22 years old. I want to say something. I want everybody to pay attention to this. By the time you are 21 to 22 years old, your life, the amount of enzymes your body will produce over at its peak, it's already starting to decline. You'll never have more enzymes in your body, in the cells that run and function the body, beyond the age of 18 to 22 years old. After that, it's all downhill and it's all deterioration and loss, cellularly, metabolically, digestively. That's why you degenerate into a disease state. And it does. It sometimes takes decades. If you have weak genetics, you'll see that literally in the first decade. So by the time you're 30, 35 years old, you've got tremendous symptoms, if not a full-blown disease, such as diabetes, arthritis, cancer, whatever your weak genetic inheritance factors are. And by the way, nobody ever inherits heart disease. Nobody ever inherits cancer. I don't believe in a cancer gene in every single person. There's just cancer cells in every single person, and they're not gene-created. They're environmentally created. They're self-created because they're severely nutritionally starved. So natural mutation occurs because there is no balancing of enzymatic activity and functioning within a cell without nutrients. So this is how we all get this stuff. And this is just a little bit of an introduction into disease and illness, not just specifically cancer. This applies to all illnesses and diseases. Because as I was going to say earlier, where I got this innate knowledge or understanding, I just had that aha, big, huge light bulb moment when I was about 27, 28 years old. And it's all about enzymes. Nutrition doesn't even matter. Nutrition can't even be utilized in any form of life on the planet without enzymes using those nutrients to activate themselves, the enzymes, and then enzymes communicate with each other. And that's what creates life processes at a cellular level in any form of life on this planet. So always remember that, because I tell everybody, if you're beyond the age of 30 and you have any kind of history of any kind of disease or illness in your grandparents or your parents or your aunts and uncles, that's your gene pool. Doesn't go any farther than that, but that's who you are. And there's no such thing as even genetic distribution. You are fit about 70 to 75% genetically of one or two of your parents. Your grandparents play a role of about 5% of your genetics. Your aunts and your uncles play about another 5%. And then your mother or your father, the less dominant, plays about 20%. So you're 70% or more either your father or your mother. And it's really important for everybody to have conversations with your parents. If they're still living, wow, what did my aunt so-and-so die from? What did my uncle so-and-so pass away from? On both sides of the family, but it's more important to know who the dominant parent is in your genetics. And you'll look, you'll be built, there's no such thing. You'll look a lot more by one parent as opposed to the other. And whoever you look and feature, take of your body physical features after, that's your dominant genetic pool. And whether that's your dad, now start asking your dad about your grandparents. But more importantly, his brothers and sisters, your aunts and uncles. Because that's where your disease and illness comes from. Anybody on the challenge, anybody on the earth wants to challenge me on that, I can prove it all day long. And if I could bet anybody $1,000 every time I proved it, I'd be worth about $1 billion in less than a week. That's how strong and much research I put into all of this stuff. And I don't go by what somebody else did, what somebody else published. Over the last 28 years, I'll bet you I've spent close to $40 to $45 million on clinical trial and scientific research from throughout the world. I used to work with Nelson Mandela for the AIDS epidemic in South Africa from 1996 to 1999 and worked extensively in Johannesburg with their research team about HIV and AIDS. And again, we're here to talk about cancer, but I'm going back to the one thing I understood was the immune system. And when you can control and regulate enzymes that run and regulate the human immune system cell network, now you've really got a chance to change the course of the human body. And if you're not focusing on the immune system cell functioning, the enzymes that exist within the membranes of those immune system cells, and more importantly, the nutrients that activate those enzymes to carry out that functioning within that immune system membrane cell, then you have lost. You're not going to get anything on a long-term consistent basis. And I'll tell you, everybody else and people that have had cancer multiple times, they already know this. If you've got cancer, your body is already telling you and your gene pool is already exposed what your potential death is going to be from. Because somewhere you've got a flawed immune system cell functioning. And more often than not, it's not the immune system that's flawed. It's you've lost the ability to digest the foods that you eat to give your body, especially the immune system cells, the specific nutrients that they need in order to carry out very specific functioning tasks within the immune system cell activity. That's what you're missing. So when you start taking a digestive enzyme every single time you eat a nutrition source, wow, your whole body starts to come back to life. Just because you've got the enzymatic activity back to where now you can utilize whatever nutrition it is you're consuming, whether it's juices, fresh fruits and vegetables, whether it's meats and seafood, whether it's vitamins and supplements, protein powders, whatever that is, now you've got enough enzymatic activity to utilize that as nutrition at the enzymatic cellular level. And until we all learn to do that every single meal, every time we put a nutrient source in our mouth, nothing else is going to matter much, and you're still on that path of deteriorated health. Because there's the fact that we've been able to prove now, and I'm a big part of this research, for every single decade the human body lives, you're going to lose a minimum of 8 to 10% of your digestive enzyme production capabilities every decade you live. So put that in perspective, that's almost 1% every year you live your life. And no wonder people's average age of death is in their early to mid-70s here in America. Because by the time you're 70 years old, you've already lost about 80, 90% of your ability to digest your food. And without nutrients at a cellular level, cells just don't function. They can't reproduce themselves. They can't function at a healthy level to where they're reproducing properly. They cannot maintain their genetic coding at the DNA level. So every time they reproduce, because there's enzymes lost, which means there's nutrients lost, so a lot of these different enzymes never get reproduced that carry out these specific functioning within the cell. So this is where I want to start from. Now I'm going to kind of get into, but before I go into everything, I don't want this just to be a lecture. How many people have questions about what I just said? We're going to take the time tonight on this call where everybody understands. We must have probably 25 people on here at least. So I want to make sure that when everybody leaves the call tonight, we'll get into the diet and all the other stuff and your treatment options and so on and so forth. But I want to sit there and make sure everybody understands in these three segments we're going to go through. So does anybody have any questions or comments about what I've just talked about so far? Anybody? Everybody understands that real well?
Mm-hmm. Yep, think so. Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure everybody's really got it, because this is the most important part to get out of the rest of this. The rest of this stuff is just things you need to do. But you have to understand why you're doing something in order to get committed to it and do it on a continual basis.
Yes, amen.
And like I said, if you don't understand the significance and importance and the role that enzymes play, not just metabolic enzymes that carry out cell functioning inside your organs and tissues, but also the digestive enzyme loss and deterioration for every 10 years you live your life from birth. Because at 37 to 42 years old, the average person has lost over 50% of their capability of digesting the diet they consume every day for nutrition at the cell level. 50% or more by the time you're 37 to 42 years old. So this is where everybody starts to have these horrific diseases and this big, wow, holy crap, I just got diagnosed with cancer or diabetes or heart disease or dementia and Alzheimer's, and there's a whole bunch of stuff. But this didn't all of a sudden become part of your life. If you go back and you start questioning your mom and dad, your aunts and uncles, you're going to see that there's other family members within that first generation up that have those same disease issues. It does. Everything is genetic. By the way, don't ever let a doctor tell you, well, we're not sure where it comes from, but we think it's genetically linked. Everything that goes on in your entire life is genetically linked. You are no more than a set of two parents by over 90% of the gene pool. So you are genetically linked, and you'll be genetically linked forever, because one thing you can't do, once your body is formed and you are born, within 2 years, your genetics will never change for the rest of your life. You are who you are, and now you've got what you got, and now you've got to figure out how to function for the rest of your life in a healthy state of living from the genetics you inherited. And I've already apologized to my daughter several times for the crap genetics that she got, but like I told her, I said, I can't take the blame for that because you just got what I got. So this is important for understanding and conversation with people that have little children. You can change those genetics. More importantly, you can change those genetics as you live your lifespan way before you even have a child. Because disease takes 2 to 3 generations to breed into the genetic pool. It takes 2 to 3 generations of doing things right and different, and you can breed that disease of diabetes, of cancer, of everything, right out of the gene pool too. But it takes 2 to 3 generations of everybody doing everything right to do that. And that's why it's important to have the conversations. Do we really want to keep this in our family? I don't. So I've had that conversation with my daughter, and I encourage her to have that conversation with our grandson. So we can change all of that, because the fact is, I'm 63. I'll be 63 this year, and nobody in my family lives beyond their 50s and 60s. So I'm really healthy. God bless me for that, and I put a lot of effort in trying to change all of that stuff, and I will. I'm pretty sure I'll live well into my 80s, 90s. God willing. So let's talk about specific cancers here for just a second. So I know we have people on here that have inoperable, irreversible, untreatable brain cancer. We have people on here that have brain tumors, but they're benign. We have people on here that have prostate and breast cancers. There's several other different cancers we have on here, but like I said, really they're all the same. Just they exist in a different part of the body. So one thing you have available to you as you go forward and you start to struggle and deal with this disease, and the reason why the medical community isn't really that successful in the long term, they can get rid of cancer, either cut it out or radiate it out or give you enough chemo to where they poison it out. Problem is, if you go to National Cancer Society and the cancer statistics, there's over 80% chance that you're going to get cancer back in your life within the next 2 to 3 years. So you beat it once, just like Helen Jackson Gibb did down in North Carolina. Really wonderful lady. Her husband was an oncologist doctor. She met me when she was 71 years old. And feisty as all get out, she had the mentality of a 16-year-old kid ready to go out disco dancing every night. But her body was telling her a whole different story. In fact, when I met her, she had sent me an email, showed me she had her picture taken beside of a coffin because she was given less than 3 months to live by her husband and their oncology team there in North Carolina. So he was an oncologist. She went through chemo radiation once. She beat it. She went through it twice. She beat it. But now the third time, it has come back with a vengeance. And she said, I will not go through the chemo and the breaking down and all the pain that I went through the first two times. I'm ready to die, so I'm going to go out and get my coffin and get my funeral ready. So that's when I met her. And I got her on a diet. I got her on specific supplements that support your immune system, cell activity and functioning. The enzymes keep your bloodstream clean so you don't have any inhibiting factors from your undigested meals, specifically meat proteins, chicken, turkey, beef, and pork. Those are some of the biggest immune suppressors or inhibiting factors from your body to being able to function healthy. And the longer you live from that diet into your later years, beyond 35 years old, you're actually suppressing your immune system to the point to where you're just asking your body or your environment to create a disease or illness in your life. You're begging for it at that point. So the first thing you're going to hear me talk about tonight here in a little bit is getting rid of all this flesh meat on a daily basis, even a weekly basis in your life. There are other alternatives. There's definitely better alternatives, more nutritious, less energy expended by the body, and we'll get into that here in a minute. So one of the things I really want to focus on is this whole thing, you can't keep doing what you're doing and expecting a different result. That's called insanity. So anybody that's on this call tonight not willing to make a change, good luck, because you're not going to change your course of cancer without a change in your diet and the way you put your stress into functioning each day. We have to be able to take that stress away from the body before things can really change. And when you do that and that change starts to occur and your body becomes stronger and more efficient, then you can kind of go back to the old ways a little teeny bit. Instead of having beef, pork, and turkey and fish, or beef, chicken, pork, and turkey every single meal of the day, three meals a day, you might be able to have one every other day. So I'm not telling you completely cut it out of your life forever, but juicing is going to have to be a part of your program. Natural fruits and vegetables, fresh as you can get them, are going to have to be a part of your daily lifestyle and in a liquefied form. Not cooked, not processed. Rice you'll have to cook in if you want to live with some rice and stuff. But for the most part, your carrots, your beets, your watermelon, all that stuff gets juiced in a juicer. And the cheapest, the most effective juicer that I know of is called the Ninja Blender Kitchen System. It'll do every bit of good job at pureeing and liquefying your foods and preserving nutrients as a Vitamix would. And it's less than half the price. So everybody should be writing this down, Ninja Kitchen System Juicer or the IQ Juicer from Ninja. Because you're going to want to have something, not a blender, not a juice extractor, a complete liquefier, a real true juicer like a Vitamix. Because you're going to do whole food juicing, the shell, the peel, everything. Because too many people throw away the potato peel, which is 90% of the minerals and nutrition in a potato. The white part's the starch. That's less than 10% of nutrition. They throw away bananas that are scraping out that inside fiber. That's where almost all the potassium is in a banana. And most people, they throw that peel away, and the little stringy strands on the inside of that, they throw that away too. Carrots, apples, you peel an apple, you peel an orange, you peel a lemon. You know what? You just literally threw out 90% plus of the antioxidants in the zest. There it goes. So we're going to do things different from this day going forward and use zest, orange, and lemons and lime shells. You don't throw the whole thing in. You zest the zest, put that in, and then you peel it. And then you throw the rest of the orange in your juicer, and you're going to get all the antioxidants, 90% of those, if you zest properly, and you're going to get all the benefits of the juice and the value of the fiber in there as well. So so anyway, getting back to your immune system, because I really want to kind of get everybody to understand how you compromise your immune system with this meat-flesh diet. And that's 90% of all cancers. Now, with that being said, over 68% of all cancers worldwide are directly caused by either primary smoking of cigarettes or secondary smokes, being around or in a room or in a bar where there's a lot of cigarette smoke going on. Cigarette smoke is the most carcinogenic substance there is on the planet Earth to the human body. It has cadmium. Cadmium, if you walk into a bar sometime or a crowded room where there's a lot of smoking going on, it's a little grayish-blue haze that floats through the air as the sun shines just right in a room. That's cadmium. That is deadly, deadly, deadly carcinogenic to the human body. And then, like I said, 68% of all cancers worldwide are directly caused by cigarette smoke, that carcinogenic or cancer-causing. So remember that. If friends or family that smokes around you and stuff, tell them to take it outdoors. Do not, under any circumstances, allow them
muted
cigarette smoke around you, your little children, or anybody else. They want to go ahead and end their life with disease and illness, great. You go right outside and have at it, but you do it by yourself. And that's a rule around my house. We have guests up at the training center, but no smoking is allowed anywhere in my home in Miles City, my training center up here at Fort Peck, anywhere, not my car, not my vehicles. Smoking isn't allowed anywhere in my life because I'm definitely allergic to cigarette smoke. I can't even breathe anywhere near it. So that's the first thing that I want everybody to understand. You know, you've got to start getting away from these elements that are causing these cancerous growths in your body. And that's one of the biggest elements you could rid yourself from. Even if you have to alienate your family and friends, do it. It's a whole lot better than dealing with cancer, because they're not going to be able to help you once you go through this horrific disease. And I know because my oldest brother died of cancer. I could never convince him to do the things that I've helped other people do. He had a gambling problem. He'd much rather go to the slot machines and spend his $10,000 a month as opposed to buying a $99 bottle of enzymes for me. I don't feel sorry for anybody that's not willing to help themselves. And the biggest thing, and I've actually claimed and trademarked this, I cannot personally myself want more for you, anybody on this call, or anybody that I'll ever meet in my life. I cannot want more for you than what you're willing to step up and accept and want for yourself. You have to want this. You have to want good quality of life. You have to want good quality of cancer-free living. I can want it for you all day long. I can educate you till you're blue in the face and you understand it all, but until you want it as bad as I want it for you, for yourself, nothing's going to change. Okay? So let's get into a little bit of how cigarette smoke, free radical damage, I'm sure you've heard of the terms and things like that, but you might not know how all that works. Well, one thing I learned a long, long time ago, and I'm very fortunate to have run across this enzyme company in Scottsdale that had these microscopes, and they used to analyze the blood for carcinogenic effects. They used to analyze the blood to take a look at the immune system cell functioning, the size, the internal nucleus activity, how efficient was it interacting with other cells in different parts of the blood. All of these different things, how active was the nucleus of the cell. And so I was able to physically see the effects of what we were doing and what effects weren't coming about as a result of what we were doing. And it's through that whole process over 15 years is where I created these formulas through the Enriching Gifts label. And they've got research of literally tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people on them. The beta group used was no less than 650 people. That's the minimum. But most formulations, before we actually put it into an approved formula and under the label, went through about 10,000 people's testing and analyzing the blood and the effects of these different supplements inside of various genetics and people. And this was done globally as I traveled all over the world. So there's Japanese, there's Chinese, there's Korean, there's Australian, there's blacks, there's the Aborigines, there's the whites. I mean, it doesn't matter what your gene pool or genetics or color is. I've tested everybody from here to the moon. I don't think there's anybody on this planet with a genetic strain that I haven't tested and analyzed the effects of all these products in. So that's one thing I know is it doesn't matter who takes it. It's going to do the exact same thing and work the exact same way in every single person's body. And I've always said there's no such thing as one thing being 100% beneficial for everybody, unless I'm talking about enzymes and immune system cells. Every single person has the same identical immune system cell. A T lymphocyte has very, very, very little genetic variance into it whatsoever. You can take the enzymatic activity within the nucleus of a T lymphocyte. That's your immune system cell that literally destroys, dissolves, and kills any mutated or rogue damaged cell in the human body. It literally dissolves the cell of itself. And only T lymphocytes have the enzymatic activity and capability to do that in the human body. And there's neutrophils, eosinophils, basophils, lymphocytes, leukocytes. There's a whole bunch of different immune system cells, but only T helper killer cells, T lymphocytes, have the ability to destroy damaged and infected cells in the human body itself. So at that point, I became an immunoenzymologist, and I chose to study all the enzymes that run and regulate the human immune system cell functioning. I don't care about the enzymes in the heart muscle or your legs or your skin tissue. I focused on the enzymes that run and regulate and dictate all the functionality processes of the human immune system cell network. And that's what an immunoenzymologist does. Because I soon realized that no matter what you talk about, any other part of the body, sooner or later, it's all going to come back to preserve a healthy state of functioning. Your immune system cells have to do this, which is to kill off the bacteria, the viruses, anything that's floating in the blood, entering the body, has to be able to dissolve all the mutating and damage through free radical damage, chemical exposure, oxygen deprivation, pH fluctuations, acidity. The T cells have to destroy all of those mutation cells that occur as a result of all those environments and conditions I just named. So I've got this pretty well down to where probably at least a 93 to 95% success on just about anybody I've ever worked with as far as helping them eliminate disease from their bodies. Now I'm going to tell you something. I want everybody to listen to this very carefully, because there is no such thing as a product anywhere in the market from a doctor or the dietary supplement industry. There is no such thing as a cure in a bottle. There's no such thing as a cure in an IV. There's no such thing. The only thing that can truly 100% alleviate and then further deteriorate before it becomes a problem in the human body is one or more of your immune system cells. Neutrophils and eosinophils, they get rid of all the excess of fats and the plaque and undigested proteins. They're the scavengers in the bloodstream. They kind of eat up and dissolve everything that never got fully digested and processed in the digestive process. So it gets absorbed into the bloodstream very poorly, digested enough to get absorbed, but it's still not in a profile to where it can be enzymatically activated use. So, and those just circulate around the blood until an immune system cell either comes along, digests it down and eliminates it, or it just accumulates and starts to hang up in parts of the organs and even build up around the outer membrane of the cell in an oxidized or hardened form. That's what oxidation does inside the human body. And anything inside the human body is exposed to oxidation because we have tremendous amounts of oxygen in all cells of our body, even our bloodstream. So things have a tendency to oxidize over a period of time. Our body produces an enzyme called superoxide dismutase, and that's the body's antioxidant enzyme. And that's usually enough to take care of the damaging effects of oxygen inside your bloodstream so that we can live and breathe and function every day. But that's that. Now, what's going to take care of all the things that we expose ourselves to? Through chemicals in our diet, preservatives, coloring agents, pollution in the air, pollution in the water, heavy meat consumption where there's steroids and antibiotics is riddled in everything we consume for most people. What's going to take care of all of that? That's where supplements and good nutrition comes in, fresh, whole foods. Let your foods be your medicines. Let your medicines be your foods, not your drugs. You know, so one time I had a conversation with a really flip doctor. He had more degrees than I have in my first last name spelling. And he just sat there and he said, you know, if the good Lord intended us to be living from supplements, he would have made a supplement tree. And I just immediately sit there and said, yep, you know what? Just hold on a second. I think there's a nursery I saw back. I got to go get that Prozac tree. Or I got to get that Ritalin tree. Or I got to get that Plavix and blood thinning tree. Because I'm sure they got capsules and tablets hanging off the leaves of those kind of. And he didn't appreciate me very much, but I was just as flipped with him as he was with me. And I said, you don't know the first damn thing of what you're talking about. And it's because of your fear of ignorance that you have such a hostile environment and attitude towards me, somebody who is really educated about nutrition. So I'll never forget that. And that didn't help me with him at all, but it did help me with a whole bunch of doctors that were down at the Southwest Regional Medical Trauma Center down there in Mississippi. That's where I'm in Jackson, Mississippi. In fact, that's where I met this goofball. But the bottom line is, your food is going to have to be your health. That's the only source that anybody has for true health, because all cell functioning comes from nutrition activation, and all nutrition comes from foods. That's the difference between a food and a drug. A food is something that has nutrition, and nutrition activates and gives the enzymes of the body the ability to function, to carry out cellular functioning activity. So nutrition acts the body, gives the body the ability to function at an enzymatic level. Drugs inhibit the enzymes, inhibit the cell functioning from occurring naturally. So there's your choice. Those are the facts. The way a drug is determined as a drug is if it has an enzyme inhibiting property or capability to it, then it's categorized as one of the five categories of drugs. How do we identify a nutrient? There's a story I'd like to talk about just real briefly. It's called glucosides. And this glucoside is normally considered a compound up till about 26, 27 years ago. It was actually probably 30 years ago, because just a couple of years before I actually got to South Africa, started working with Nindalo's Medical Center and Professor Carl Pagel, who discovered this nutrient. But all the time in science, it had just been considered a compound, some kind of an earthly element, something that existed. And it was considered a compound because we didn't realize what it actually did when it came into being a part of enzymatic activation and functioning within T lymphocyte cells. This whole glucoside became a nutrient from a compound because Professor Pagel identified six different enzymes with T killer lymphocyte cells, identified six enzymes that activated with that glucoside, which is a pre-sugar molecule from a sprout source only. So the only place you can get the glucoside is from sprouts. And each sprout has a different concentration profile of the sterols, which are the plant fats, and the glucoside, which only occurs and is created during the first 3 days to 7 days of a seed growing into a plant. After 7 days, 9 days at the longest, which was the fenugreek, after 9 days, the glucoside is gone. It evolves into a sugar or some other form of a nutrient. So the human body, unless you've lived from an extensively sprouted diet for all since caveman existed, the full potential functioning of the human immune system has never, ever, by the human race, been truly realized. And the shocking part is these six enzymes that Professor Pagel had identified, they had to do with the proliferation, which means the reproductive capability rate, and the modulation, the master modulation of how that cell functions and reacts, which is the overall regulatory mechanism of the functioning of the cell. That's what four of those six enzymes did. The other two were proliferation or reproductive capabilities. So now you've got an immune system cell that can reproduce itself much, much faster, and it can actually increase its efficiency of functioning by more than 500 to 700% more efficient than we've had since the caveman days. That is a huge, huge breakthrough. And to this day, I will never understand how it is that that man could make that kind of discovery when it comes to increasing an efficiency of the human mankind living standard and efficiency of functioning from immune system. How he never won a Nobel Prize, I will never, ever understand, ever. This is one of the biggest scientific breakthroughs in mankind's history. And so this is, at the time, he was just kind of going through all of this identification and application when I actually met him through Nelson Mandela and through Dr. Hall, who was Bill Clinton's former appointed U.S. AIDS ambassador for the HIV/AIDS epidemic worldwide. And I worked extensively traveling with him all over Africa, Australia, different European countries, but most of it was within Africa. All of the different countries that existed on that continent, we traveled extensively for 6-7 years on and off. So here we've got these identification of these enzymes, and now I'm able to physically start to set up scientific studies and research protocols and stuff and start analyzing all these different AIDS people's blood. And I'm able to see the effects of the Sterilmax is what we created, a very specific immune-building sprout formulation that not only dramatically increases the efficiency of functioning of your T lymphocytes and all your other immune system cells, but we have found that we could actually enlarge the cell by 3 to 5 times larger than you normally would see in most human body under a normal basis. 3 to 5 times larger cell has 3 to 5 times more nuclei or enzymatic material to work with. And when you increase the size of the cell that big and you increase the enzymes that's going to work with creating the functioning of the cell, you dramatically increase the efficiency of functioning of that cell. And that's one of the main reasons why we're able to do what we're able to do with cancers and disease and illness, why we're able to help so many people. But like I said, don't ever think that you can say, oh, this helped me cure cancer. Enrich and Gifts company or products help me cure heart disease or cure my high blood pressure or cure this, cure that. Nutrition is not a cure for anything. Only your immune system can destroy what's harming you, and only your immune system can destroy that which can harm you. So it's all about the immune system. And anybody wants to talk about curing any disease or illness without talking about specifically how that nutrition and enzymatic profile has changed within any one of the immune system cells in the human body, you start running the other direction because you're looking a liar straight in the face. You're looking at one of the most ignorant people that ever walked this planet right in the face. So don't buy into all of this, well, this cured cancer, he took this and that cured cancer. Ask for specifics. I want to see how that product, those ingredients, interacted with very specific immune system cell enzymes that dramatically changed the either the sluggish or the non-existent functioning from an enzymatic and a cellular perspective. Unless people can go to those links and thoroughly explain it to where it all makes sense to you, don't bother wasting your time or your money. And I was on the phone today talking to several people today taking supplements from chiropractors, from different doctors, and so on and so forth. Even the drugs, the chemotherapy drugs, there was several different versions and varieties of it. And I said, unless they can thoroughly explain to you exactly how that's going to work inside the human body. I'll give you an example. Well, I'm taking oxygen drops. Okay, so how is that oxygen bound on the label? What's the ingredient? Well, it's sodium chloride. Sodium chloride binds oxygen all for probably about maybe 3 to 6 hours. Might be even 2 to 3 days until you open it the first time. The best way, if you're going to consume some kind of a liquefied, stabilize the oxygen, get a potassium bound. Potassium bound lasts forever in the packaging. And it's hard to release once it's actually in the body. So it'll stay, keep that oxygen circulating in your body if you really want to use that. But to say that by increasing oxygen into your bloodstream is going to somehow cure cancer or change the alkalinity pH of your blood and your tissues, that's simply not true. Oxygen has a role that it plays in the overall pH of the body, but by adding more oxygen in the bloodstream, you're not going to change the pH. Your body already has so much oxygen circulating in the bloodstream that it cannot utilize because the red blood cells are all clogged up together, so there is no surface area because of your poorly or worse yet, completely undigested protein from your meat source in your diet. You have to have a full round basketball surface area of a red blood cell, a erythrocyte, red blood cell, erythrocyte, same thing, in order to carry 5 or 6 oxygen molecules from the lungs and the bronchial tubes attached to the red blood cell so it can circulate it to the rest of the parts of the body. You have to have a full basketball surface area on all sides just to carry 5-6 oxygen molecules. And if you're deficient in iron, which is called an anemia, iron has to be in your blood as well as your red blood cells to act as a magnet to pull the oxygen molecule to the surface of the red blood cell. That's what holds it. So when it picks it up in the lungs, it can transport it to the rest of the body. And if you've got all of these red blood cells that are all stuck and smashed together, just like a big old long stack of quarters, what just happened in that big basketball got deflated, and now we just got a teeny edge around each one of those. That's called rouleau and severe erythrocyte aggregation. And there was a French scientist, Dr. Rouleau, he actually showed that that was one of the conditions that caused cancer in the human body through deprivation of oxygen at a cellular level. The red blood cells are all stuck together. They can't bring in oxygen, so your cell mutates because of oxygen starvation, just like if somebody had their hand to your throat choking the heck out of you for about the next 5 minutes. Sooner or later, you'd be dead because no oxygen. Exactly what happens at the tissue layer of your body when your red blood cells are all stuck together because you ate more protein, specifically meat flesh protein, than what your body had the ability to produce enzymes to digest it fully and utilize it as an amino acid. No, it's still a compound protein substance circulating in your blood. It's sticky, it's mucousy, and just clogs up your red blood cells. That is not a natural function. That's what gives that really dark black cherry color to the human blood. And I can take anybody, give them enzymes, clean up all that protein, and you can actually measure the protein content with very specific tests. You can see there's no more protein in the blood. There is no more undigested protein from your meal. And you can actually measure this within an hour and a half after you take a few capsules. You can visually see the color change of your blood from a dark black cherry red to a real, real bright, almost like watery, straight through to your fingerprints pink. It's a whole different color red. It's not dark at all. It's like a fire engine red. Really bright and looks like it's oxygenated. And you can just change that even with that spectrum cell at the end of your index finger. That'll even read it. You'll see you'll go from an 89 to a 92 all the way up to 99 to 100, just sitting in the chair in a half hour to an hour and a half, just taking a few enzyme capsules. So that's one of the biggest ways that you can alkalize your body. And everybody knows that cancer and all disease loves to thrive and flourish and exist in an acid pH body, which means low oxygenation, high presence of acid circulating through the blood and in the tissues. That's going to be detrimental no matter whose body that lives in. It's not the way the genetics of the human body were designed to function efficiently or survive long in. And then the other thing was, the whole purpose of taking this oxygen is, well, you're going to change the pH of the overall body by taking oxygen drops. No, there's nothing in oxygen that's going to neutralize acid. You have to be able to neutralize acid or reduce significantly the amount of acid that's in the presence that brings that pH down to acidity. Because without the presence of acid, there is no acid pH. You have to have acid in order to have an acid pH. And this hydrochloric acid that your body has to produce in order to activate the protease enzymes to digest the protein meats or protein source foods in your meal, they'll only activate in an acid pH. There's no other part of the human body, anywhere, any organ, any tissue, that functions more efficiently in an acid pH as opposed to an oxygen alkaline pH other than the digestive acid stomach. Once that acid moves beyond that little tiny cavity there in the bottom part of your stomach, and it does move with your food, as your food's digested and starts to move out of the acid stomach through the GI tract, and sooner or later it's going to get into the smaller and into the large intestine where it's going to be absorbed into the villi and into the bloodstream. That's going to absorb acid with that food as well. Small, tiny amounts, but over a period of time it can get really, really bad to the point to where you have acidosis, which is a buildup of hydrochloric acid in the blood. And that can actually create ruptures, holes in your circulatory arteries and vessels and veins, so on and so forth. So your body has to neutralize that. You can never, ever have the blood anywhere near an acid pH. It's always 7.4 or higher, blood pH. You get down to 7, you're dead. You cannot survive when the blood pH is below a 7. because there's no other cell in the body that benefits from the presence of acid. So it cannot be in the bloodstream. That's where your bloodstream travels to all other cells and tissues of the body. So, again, the more meat, flesh you eat, the more hydrochloric acid your body's going to produce. And unless you have calcium in your diet, there's not much calcium in meat, flesh. That comes from your potatoes and some of your root vegetables and so on and so forth, your spinach. You have to have calcium. Calcium, if you look at every single antacid anywhere in the world and on the market, even the doctor's prescription, Prilosec, Nexium, all that stuff, what's the very first word in that ingredient list? Some form of calcium. Whether it's a synthetic chemical made, like the Prilosec and the Nexium, but it's some form of a calcium. Because calcium naturally neutralizes acid on a contact or exposure. So if you really want to truly alkalize your body, take a lot of digestive enzymes, specifically something that's really, really high in protease enzymes, to prevent your meat source meals from coating up your red blood cells and inhibiting the uptake of oxygen to alkalize the body, to increase the alkaline pH. And the second thing you want to do is take lots of a really good source of calcium. Not CalMag, not the calcium carbonate. That's some of the cheapest crap calcium you could put inside the human body, and it's some of the hardest for the body to break down and utilize at reducing the presence of acid. And it's so hard because it doesn't get absorbed in the blood very well. In order to reduce all of this acidity, you have to have calcium in your blood because that's where your body's going to go to utilize it and find it to where, once it does have an acid area, where it can neutralize that acid. So get coral calcium, really good coral calcium. That's the most easily used, it's the most fully digested, and it's the most bioactive form of calcium there is. But the bottom line is get a really good source of calcium. Because that way your body doesn't have to leach it from your bones because it's so deficient in your daily diet. And your body will leach it from your bones, creating all kinds of arthritis and bone deterioration diseases if it's not in the bloodstream circulating as a food source. So always remember the calcium supplements. That's one of your biggest factors, especially all you are, that are on here tonight for cancer. The biggest and the fastest way to alkalize your body is to take at least 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams of calcium every single day, because that's what your body's going to use to neutralize the acidity pH and the acidity that goes on throughout your GI tract. That's the only thing your body has to use. There's no immune system cells. There's no other nutrients. It's calcium. So if you want to alkalize the body's pH, how do you do that? What pulls the pH down? The presence of acid. When you take enough calcium, you're going to neutralize all that acid, and there's only one way, and as long as you're not inhibiting the digestion of your proteins, as long as you're taking enough enzymes to where your protein source is being fully digested, as long as those red blood cells aren't being all stuck together from that incompletely digested protein, now you have the two main factors fully available at the body's disposal. Oxygen from your red blood cells, free-floating, that look like basketballs instead of a stack of quarters, and calcium, no acidity, very, very little, and it's only utilized where it's supposed to be utilized, in the acid stomach only. And that's how you alkalize the human body. The quickest, the fastest, and the most consistent long-term way. That's how you maintain it once it's alkalized as well. So you have to go to this dietary change. Even with a supplement of enzymes and stuff, you're still at some point, you keep getting more and more and more enzymatically deficient to where by the time you're in your 70s and 80s, go out and look and see how many 80-year-old people, 75 to 80, 85 years old, go out and see how many of those people sit down and love a big old 10 or 12 or even a 6-ounce sirloin steak. It just makes them sick. They'll even tell you. They eat vegetables. They'll eat soup. They eat little tiny bits of food. But you're not going to see them sit down and eat a 4, 6, 8, 10-ounce, 12-ounce steak. Their body just can't handle it. And they feel it. It makes them vomit. It makes them sick because they don't have any more enzymatic activity to process the diet. It literally circulates and is in their body for days. And now it's putrid, it's toxic, it's growing bacteria. I mean, it's just releasing nothing but toxicity. Not amino acids, not good nutrition or nutrients, it literally lays there and is releasing toxicity. And people feel that. So you don't find older people that have these big meals of meat. I've got neighbors all the way around me, blocks on no matter which way you want to go, probably 30 of them. And we've had them over to our July 4th party, our Labor Day big barbecue. And they're like, don't you have some soups? Don't you have some salads? They don't like meat anymore because they know how it makes them feel. Just makes them want to vomit. They're sick from it. So anyway, those are just some quick examples of stuff, and that's the way you really want to focus on alkalizing the human body. Calcium, got to have lots of calcium in your diet on a regular basis, and make sure to take those digestive enzymes so all that sticky mucousy protein from your food source gets into the bloodstream completely metabolizable as a nutrient, not as an immune complex floating protein. That just is only going to coat your red blood cells and inhibit them from oxygenating the body. And that's the way you alkalize. So that's part two. So does anybody have any questions about that? Then I want to go into the specific juice diet as well as the chemo, the drugs, and the effects and all of that stuff. So does anybody have any questions about where I'm at so far? Anybody?
Yes, Ron. This is Dr. Nancy. I have other people here with me. They're listening to you. I'm writing down their questions. So, of course, they've heard what you said about the meat. They want to know, the first question is
unmuted.
What to eat specifically if you take meat out.
No. We're going to get to that in just a second. That's our next thing. I want to talk
about
specific diet.
All right. And another question is about pH in infused water. Okay.
Okay, that's great. It's called Kangen water. Most people know it by Kangen water. Okay,
mm-hmm.
When they do pH, I want everybody that's all hepped and excited about pH water to go to the National Patent Office here in the United States. And there's four major companies that distribute these $3,000 to $5,000, $6,000 machines that alkalize your water. Now think about this. I want everybody to go back to what I just said. How do you increase alkalinity in the human body? You have to have calcium so it can neutralize the presence of acid. That's going to lower your acid, and that's going to increase the ability of your body to oxygenate. So what is it in pH water? I'm going to give you an example. So let's say we have an 8.5 pH water. What is it in water that's going to neutralize acid? Because that's just an 8.5 pH water. So what's in that water that gave it that increased pH?
Well, we'll have to get that one.
Alkaline water, she wants to know.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. So what created a higher alkalinity pH in that water? What was it? It didn't do it by itself. It didn't do it through just running through a machine. There had to be something that was added to that water in order to elevate and raise the pH. Because remember, in order to raise the pH, you have to lower the presence of acid. And the lower you make acid, the higher the pH goes. It's automatically give and take. By the way, pH stands for potential for hydrogen. Even nurses that I talked to this week didn't even realize this. So let's spell everything out, be really clear. So what does a Kangen water or an alkalizing water machine do to lower the presence of acid? Because you have to lower the presence of acid before you can ever increase that pH number. So what does it do? How does it work? It's real simple. I want you to go to the patent office and look up all these machines. They all have one single thing in common in their patents. It's called an electrolysis grid, and all of them have an electrolysis process in them. And in that grid that nobody wants to show or see is coral calcium. Not calcium carbonate, not calcium nitrate, not calcium sulfate, no other form. It's all coral calcium. And they leach calcium from that little grid through electrical current going through that. And then it's released into the water, and that's what neutralizes the acid. So that goes the alkalinity pH. And now you can actually even oxygenate the water. Problem is, a lot of that has to be drank within the first half hour or so after it's created. Otherwise, it dissipates out because you can't hold oxygen in water without some kind of a sodium binder or potassium binder or something like that. But that's how those machines work. And drinking an alkaline pH water does not alkalize the pH of the human body. There's nothing in that pH of water other than a little bit of electrolysis calcium. That's what alkalizes the pH of the human body. Again, the presence of calcium. So let's just be very clear. When somebody spends $4,000 or $5,000 out on a machine, and there is a tremendous benefit for that. But the whole alkalizing process of that water, you can, don't believe me, go look it up in the patent, is the presence of chlorocalcium, the presence of a calcium source. But what that does is, boy, if looking at that pH and all that fancy marketing material and this and that, yeah, what did it do? I guarantee you, you change the taste of the water, and you actually drink and consume probably 2 to 3 times more water than you had in the past because water didn't taste very good. But that's what you do when you put calcium minerals in the water. You actually dramatically improve the taste, and the acidity is dissipated out. So you don't have that acid dead water taste to it anymore. It actually has a real nice, pleasant taste to it, where you're going to drink it all the time. I know I have a hydrogen water machine where it creates hydrogen in the water, 1,200 parts per billion, in a 40-ounce glass. And I drink that all the time. But what is it in that whole process of that filter that it spins and churns around in? There's a lot of calcium beads in there. So that's how you oxygenate as well as alkalize the water in that. So I know what you're saying, and there's nothing wrong with them, but by drinking pH water, regardless of what the pH number is not going to alkalize the human body's overall alkalinity pH. Because if you just took plain distilled water and you took out that calcium grid in those machines, you just create more distilled water. You couldn't raise the pH at all. So there's one mechanism that's used to raise pH in all those waters, and it shows up in the patent, and it's called chlorocalcium. So that's how that water machine works. Do you understand that? Are you there, the person that asked the question?
Yes.
Okay, did that make sense to you? Do you understand that?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
And you got to be really careful, too. You don't want your blood pH or your body pH ever above a 7.8. I know those machines can go up to 8, 9, 9.5 pH. Mm-hmm. You don't want to alkalize the body that way, because what you're doing is you're neutralizing your stomach acids that have to be in an acid pH. So there's always this fine balance from 6.75 to about 7.4, 7.6. And blood pH is always 7.2 or higher. That can never, ever, ever go acid.
Okay, so they understand that. They want to know if they buy the bottled water. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Buying bottled water.
Okay, they've been buying bottled pH water, not the bottle in the machine, but in
Whole Foods,
Trader Joe's.
Right. Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm just telling you, you could alkalize your body and get an alkaline pH faster by forgetting about all the water. Just go out and put a lot of calcium into your daily diet.
Right.
And make sure you're taking protease enzymes every single time you eat meat or a heavy protein-based meal.
Okay.
Nancy, this is Dr. Brewer. Those waters are not buffered. They're not stabilized.
Right.
So the reading only exists until it crosses your throat.
Right.
Right, right. Okay. The other question that they have, these are cancer patients, okay?
Okay.
The other they have for you both, thank you, Tom. I'm not answering this. I'm asking Ron to please answer this. They know what plant enzymes are. They don't know what protease enzymes are. So they're aware of Steromax plant enzymes. Besides, you know, waiting for the next thing, could you address plant enzymes?
Yeah, well, again, what I've learned to do is try to emulate, not change, but work within the parameters of the natural functioning process of the human body. So let's take the human body in its digestive form. So how does the digestive process occur in the human body? Your pancreas organ only produces protease enzymes, and there's several different protease enzymes. Some of them work in a more acidic, some work in a slightly less acidic, closer to an alkaline, but they're all in an acidic pH range. They're below a 7. But there are different multiple proteases that are produced by your pancreatic organ, and only proteases digest protein. And then you have, your acid stomach goes through there. And before the acid stomach even, let's go back up to the mouth, because you have saliva, salivary gland. That's where your body produces amylase enzymes. Amylases are the ones that break down your carbohydrates. So when you start chewing your food, you're already digesting an enzyme being a part of that digestive process. Then as it starts to go down the esophagus into the upper part of the stomach, it's not the acid stomach yet. It's up there by that, they got a name for it. It's not the sphincter valve. There's another one for it. But anyways, it's the narrowing portion of the bottom part of the esophagus before it goes to the acid stomach. If you were consuming living foods or you were consuming living digestive enzymes with capability of being activated in an alkaline pH, because, again, we haven't hit any acidity yet as we chew in our foods, comes through our amylase and our saliva down the esophagus and then gets to that narrowing opening at the bottom of the esophagus. Digestive enzymes that are alkaline activated, this is something your body doesn't normally do in the digestive process, but these proteases are actually found in raw foods that you would eat. So there are raw food protease enzymes that will work without an acid pH. They actually work in a more alkaline pH to actually pre-digest and break your foods down even further before they actually get dissolved enough to go into the acid stomach, where then your acid-activated proteases start to break down and digest your foods, specifically your meat sources or your protein-based foods. Then from there, you start to go into the entry of the small intestinal system. And then throughout the small intestine is where you're going to find your cellulase enzymes, your enzymes that are going to break down your sugars. What else is in there? They have some anti-inflammatory enzymes. There's some additional carbohydrate enzymes in there, like maltodextrose, things like that. And then as you go into the larger intestine, now, right at the end of the small going into the large, you've got your gallbladder. And the liver doesn't produce digestive enzymes. Liver produces enzymes to clean your bloodstream, clean up all the impurities of the blood. And everybody refers to the liver as the filtering organ for the blood. Well, it doesn't filter anything. It has a whole set of complex enzymes that it can produce and release in the blood to literally dissolve and break down the impurities of the blood. So that's the organ that purifies the blood. It really doesn't filter much of anything. So that's always kind of a term that's thrown around and very misused as well as misunderstood to some degree. So now as it starts to go deeper into your smaller and into your large, then you've got your gallbladder, and that's what produces your lipase enzymes. Lipase enzymes break down your fats in your diet, your cooking oils, your tissue fats in your hamburger and your meats and stuff like that, your chicken fats, all that, the skin, those are fats. Those are mostly produced by your gallbladder. So when people take out your gallbladder because it has stones in it, oh, my gosh, you got stones in your gallbladder. You're going to have to take your gallbladder out. That's the dumbest doggone thing I've ever heard in my life. You literally just took out where the main source of almost all of your lipase enzymes, your body's ability to produce the enzymes that digest the fats that you choose to consume in a meal source. It just cut it out. And so people that are missing the gallbladder and stuff, yep, there's heart disease. There's clogged arteries. There's dementia, plaque on brain cells. There's a whole bunch of crap that just that the doctor just put into your future. Unless you're going to get on a lipase enzyme product that can now compensate for what you just let a doctor cut out of you. Because fats are in everything that we consume in a daily diet usually. Even the olive oils, the polyunsaturated, the really good fats, these all have to be digested with a lipase enzyme. And for that reason, that's why we have a full spectrum of multi-different types of enzymes in our plant enzyme product. We have at least six different. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I normally don't do. I'm going to give you a little bit of insight into our formulation genius, if you will, some of our secrets that are not on our label, they're not on our website, they're not anywhere else that can be found. And I'm not going to give you the specific substrate strain name because that's trade secret. That's what sets me apart from every other enzyme on the planet Earth. There's at least six different substrate strains of protease in our formulation. Then you get into the amylase. There's two different types of amylase enzymes. We have three different lipase enzymes, the enzymes that digest your fat. Then we have the cellulase. That's an enzyme that breaks down your fiber. Fiber, pretty much fiber, regardless of what food source or grass or wheat it comes from. Then you've got your galactosidase. That's an enzyme that actually breaks down gas molecules. Because everybody, if you have a healthy functioning GI tract, and probiotics are now the rage and the craze, probiotics are a bacteria. If you have good functioning, proper functioning bowel as well as pH of your GI tract, you're going to have about 6 to 10 farts a day because bacteria releases gas as part of its metabolism process. And probiotics, well, bacteria are no different. You're going to have some kind of a buildup of gas sooner or later if your pH and if your GI tract is functioning properly, especially, and it's not stinky gas, by the way. It's just a little poof of air. When it stinks, that's toxicity. That's bad bacteria. But you are going to release, you are going to have flatulence. There's just no two ways about it. We also have bromelain in our formula. Bromelain is another type of protease enzyme from the pineapple. And this doesn't digest anything other than protein from pineapple, but it's a great anti-inflammatory. Almost your entire body, especially your GI tract, where there's so much energy used up trying to digest and process foods, there's a lot of inflammation that occurs of that kind of cellular activity. So that's one of the reasons why we put the bromelain in there, is it's naturally going to reduce inflammation. It can even slow the formation of inflammation and swelling. So if you have a lot of aches and pains, surgeries, broken bones, this bromelain is a great product to take on a regular basis. Because when you reduce inflammation, you've increased circulation, which usually will contribute to a much faster and better healing process in the human body. The body doesn't heal very fast when there's severe inflammation. Like if I'm a bodybuilder like I used to be and I go in the gym and I work out for an hour and a half and my muscles are so swollen I couldn't even hardly lift anything, let alone my own body, and I'm sore for the next 2 days, my body doesn't recover. It doesn't heal from that really heavy workout I just went through because of inflammation. So by taking the digestive enzymes, we can reduce and almost inhibit that inflammation from occurring. So I get a much longer, more intense workout, and yet I'm ready, fully recovered the very next day because I was able to utilize nutrients much quicker because of that lack of formation of inflammation in the body. So does that kind of answer where you're at with the plant enzymes? These are all plant source derived. There's nothing that anybody's going to be allergic to. It's more of the same thing that you would have in your diet. And enzymes are different than protein, bacteria, or protein nutrients in a food source. Enzymes are biochemically active. Nutrients are not. That's basically the difference between the two. Enzymes can support and activate enzymes, or nutrients can support and activate enzymes, but enzymes really don't create nutrients. The plant source and... Well, now that I said that, that's not true because enzymes are part of all life-giving processes, and that's where our nutrients come from, is the growing of plants. But we use plants as a medium to grow enzymes on, and you extract these different enzymes from different sources, and then you have to grow them through a process. And that's actually what I can tell you about our enzyme products as much as possible. So was there any other questions about the enzymes themselves or anything like that?
Do you have any other questions?
Well, yeah. That was basically just the lung cancer and liver cancer. How do I get my liver enzymes to go down?
the one person, Ron, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, one person has
metastatic
breast cancer. It has affected the bones. Some have been removed and rods have been put in. She looks fantastic, but she has stage 4. She has had radiation and now chemo, and it's gone to her liver. She wants to know. She's listening and wants to know I'm sure the formula for raising the enzymes in the liver. So we're not there yet, but specifically.
First of all, anytime you take a oral enzyme, it's going to actually raise the enzyme panel enzymes. That's why it's important to tell your oncologist that you're taking an enzyme supplement. Because if your oncologist knows anything about enzymes, he's going to say, okay, I got it. Because your liver is filtering more enzymes, and you're putting more enzymes in the bloodstream when you're taking oral enzymes, as long as they can be alkaline and acid activated and absorbed. So they will raise it to some degree, and the longer you stay on enzymes, the higher that enzyme panel is going to get, especially with protease and amylase, which are the two highest enzymes in my formula.
They have the probiotics. I thought that would just charm your heart. They've added the probiotics. She asked them about probiotics, and they said they're already putting them in. So the process before the chemo is they're adding certain 4, 5, 6 different things, and then after that, then they give the chemo. But we are investigating the naturopathic way.
Okay, well, I'm all about the natural way. I don't know about naturopathic, but I'm all about natural foods, enzymes from natural plant sources. I don't believe in chemo kills off healthy immune system cells. It poisons them like it does the cancer cells. So when you deal with chemo, you're going to have a Russian roulette that's played out. How strong is this person's immune system? How much can he survive or she can survive the amount of chemo that we put in them?
Right.
And if you kill off a whole bunch of immune system cells, what happens is you have nothing more to kill off that aggressive reproducing cancer cell. So it anastatizes, it spreads to the liver, to the tissues, to the brain, to the kidneys. It just spreads to whatever weak spot of circulation that comes along. Now there's where it finds its home. And it just starts mass producing itself right there because of the lack of good circulation. And usually that because of that organ or that area has severe inflammation in it. So that's how cancer spreads, by the way. I am not a fan of chemo radiation. My brother died from it. My best friend, Tom Mano, died from it. I've gotten all kinds of really close business relationships that died from it, from the chemo, not the cancer. Because if you don't kill enough of the cancer cells and enough of the immune system cells survive, you just killed off the only thing in your body that could possibly reverse or even prevent or cure cancer. T lymphocytes. That's why they're always doing blood tests within several days up to maybe twice a week after a very strong chemo or even any kind of chemo treatment. And what they're looking for is how much of this cancer is being poisoned, how much of the immune system cells have we destroyed. And if there's a third component, how much of the tissue has been damaged or deteriorated to where those immune system cells are made from. That's the trick from oncology and cancer treatment. That makes no sense to me. Why am I destroying one single damn cell that I know has the ability to kill the cancer cell that's growing rapidly within me? Why would I ever want to take a chance to sit there and destroy one single of those cells, just even one? When you take that risk and chance, now you're putting the entire rest of your body at risk. And this is a really intense conversation I had with Dr. Nasir, who's the head oncologist at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Beverly Hills, California. I was out there last July, and I sat with him and his colleagues over dinner for 3 hours, and I had extensive conversations about why would you continue to do this old, archaic dinosaur crap when there's things that I can do to the human immune system cells, the enzymes that run those cells, regulate those cells, and overall greatly and dramatically improve the environment which all those cells have to function within, both the organ, the tissue, and the bloodstream. Why are you taking those risks, and why are you still ignorant about the facts of current cancer treatment with enzymes? This has been done in Tijuana, Mexico, since I started with enzymes. In fact, if the truth be known, I created 5 of the 7 companies that originally started down there in the real early late 80s, early 90s. I made 5 of the 7 very first enzyme formulas for those cancer treatments, the centers over there. But I don't talk about that much. But let me tell you, and I don't like to talk about cancer or heart disease. I like to talk about health. I like to talk about the way the body should function from an enzymatic perspective. I like to talk about a clean bloodstream. How do we accomplish that? How do we keep that? Because when you as you grow older, you're going to produce less and less. So you have to find a way to compensate for what your body's losing the ability to do or just was genetically weak. You just inherited bad genetics, and you never really could do these functions very well. So that's what our whole premise was when we went into formulating the entire enriching gift line. Could we do things to improve upon bad genetics? That's our first goal. Our second goal is there a way to compensate for what the body is losing or was never programmed very efficiently to do for itself in the first place through all the different metabolic functions in the body? Yes, we did, and yes, we did. And that's what we end up today for a product line. But chemotherapy and radiation has never made sense to me. When anybody gets radiation, look where that technician giving you the radiation is standing, behind that lead wall, and he's wearing a lead apron, protecting his butt from the exposure of radiation that causes cancer. Don't believe me? What's melanoma? Cancer from radiation from the sun. Too much exposure to radiation. End of story. And it's no different. They can say it's a lighter dose, a heavier dose, a more targeted dose. We all know the effects of this stuff. Chemo poisons the body. It causes a die-off at the cellular level. Radiation can actually create cancer cells just from the exposure. Healthy cells turn cancerous just because of radiation treatment. There are other ways. And I am by no means any kind of a doctor. I don't want to be a doctor. I'm a research scientist. And I'm proud to be doing what I'm doing because I had a doctor out of Indianapolis, Indiana, just this last summer. Clark Tucker, are you on the phone tonight by any chance? Clark, are you there? Well, this is a guy I helped out of Indianapolis, Indiana with prostate cancer. And he kept begging me to talk to his doctor so he could understand how I was able to help Clark get rid of his cancer. This doctor is the primary doctor that does all of the medical tests and physical tests for all Indianapolis race car drivers. So I finally got on the phone with him. He finally talked me into it. I started talking to this physician, and within about 10 minutes, probably 7 minutes, he said, you know, can you just hold up just for a second? He said, you're so far over my head with your knowledge and understanding. He said, you're making my head hurt. I am nowhere near following what you're saying. We weren't taught this stuff. I don't know this stuff, and you're certainly way smarter than I'll ever be. So we're just going to end this call. And then when they hung up the phone, I called Clark back. He was still sitting in the office. And I said, see, I told you so. They don't know nothing, and they're just going to badmouth me, da-da-da-da-da. So I said, I'm going to go. I got a lot to do. So I hung up the phone. 15 minutes later, after Clark left his office, he called me from down in the parking lot, all giddy as all heck. And he said, do you know what that doctor just told me? I said, no, I'm sure it wasn't anything good. And he said, boy, you really undercut yourself. I said, what do you mean? He says, you know, I could tell that guy within the first 5 minutes, he was so far over my head, I couldn't even begin to keep up with him. And he said, that's the kind of guy that's going to cure the world of disease and illness. One of the biggest compliments, if not the biggest compliment next to the Nobel Prize nomination I got, I've ever had in my whole entire life. And coming from a medical doctor that's so high up in the field of what he does, wow, what a compliment. So that's what I'm trying to get across to everybody in this call tonight that's talking about cancer, chemo, radiation, drug therapy. You're doing exactly the opposite of the way your body was designed to function. And whenever you're going to put your body at opposition to its natural functioning process, you're putting yourself at risk of real harm, irreversible harm in some cases, and even death. And your doctor should be taking the time and explaining this all to you, which I know they don't. It's more about in and out, and if you don't like it, go someplace else. And that's sad, but I see it on a global basis in the medical community all the time. And don't let anybody ever tell you, well, go home and die. There's nothing that can be done. They're telling you the truth, but you're not listening to what they're saying properly. There's nothing more that I know how to do. That's what they're telling you. It's not that there's nothing more that anybody can do. That's just a real arrogant doctor talking, like he knows what the rest of the world and myself's capabilities are, which nobody knows that. So don't ever listen to that crap conversation about go home and die, there's nothing more that can be done. There is always something more that can be done if you're willing to search out and explore. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up until the good Lord decides it's your day to come home. And only He's going to know that. You and Him. That's between you and Him and nobody else. Not even me. So, did that answer your question about the chemo radiation, or do you need me to get really specific and cellularly about how it poisons and inhibits the actual enzymes of your immune system cells?
There's a question from one of the cancer patients. They didn't have chemo for about a year, and they're giving. Okay, she's gonna speak. There you go.
I was on.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was on Ibrance for a year until it went to my liver. And then they wanted to try some type of trial medication, and I had to be approved for it. And it was only a 50% chance that I would get the trial, or I could try this paclitaxel chemo care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I just started 8 weeks ago.
Well, I'm going to tell you, all you are is a scientific guinea pig for the medical community. Let's try out this, let's try out that. Why don't you say, well, are you going to guarantee me this is going to work? Explain to me how it's overcoming cancer. Great. So I'm saying it's a trial for a new experimental drug that some drug company can patent, make a crap load of money off of. But in the meantime, let's see where we can go with this. Hey, if you die, who cares? You can't do this. You volunteered to sign your life away just to be part of that drug trial.
That's why I didn't do it.
So why did they do it?
I didn't do it. I said, I don't want to be part of the trial then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're just experimenting. And like I said, I would be asking a whole bunch of questions about what is this? How does it interact with my body? How is it supposed to overcome cancer? What are the effects? What are the potential downsides to all of this stuff?
I did ask questions.
Involved in a trial of any kind like that.
Muted.
Those questions, and she was getting highly annoyed every time I asked any more questions.
What did I just say earlier about the medical community? It's very unfortunate. Yeah. Nobody wants to take time to explain to you exactly what your risks are.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that because anybody with a half a brain of a six-year-old kid would go running straight out that door into the street and say, why would I ever consider doing this, knowing this is how it works and this are the effects that I have on my body? Who would do that?
And then she said that this one was very good. The chemo that I'll be getting, the paclitaxel, worked very good. She's had a few people that were on it, and it worked very well for them.
Right, because they were able to have a strong enough immune system to survive the treatment. And that's the difference between anybody that lives and dies from chemo or radiation or any other cancer drug treatment.
If your immune system is built up
and strong enough to survive the treatment, then because it's poison off a lot of cancer cells. It is going to poison off a lot of your healthy immune system cells. But if you have a really strong immune system that's really big and you couple it with the diet, the oxygenation of red blood cells, a digestive enzyme, I can only improve your chances of surviving those kind of treatments. I can dramatically increase your chances of surviving those kind of treatments. There's a guy, Jack, are you on the phone tonight, Jack Urbach from Las Vegas?
I don't think he is.
I told him to come on here, doggone it. I said, if you ever intended to call, this would be the one. This is a gentleman that I met. I bought a big expensive timeshare in Las Vegas last July, and I met this guy. He's the head of the Hilton Vacation Getaway Program, and he's the head finance officer at the Elara over in Las Vegas on the Strip, the Elara Resort.
Uh-huh.
And I met him. He was actually dying. He was pronounced terminal. He was getting around in a wheelchair, and he was wearing a full body brace just to stand up and get around. Because he started out with prostate cancer 7 years ago, within 2 years after the treatment of chemo, it had metastasized into his bones. And for the next 5 years, it had just spread throughout his bones and everything, and it was just spreading into his kidneys and liver when I met him. And I started telling him, he says, nobody will work on me. The doctors gave up. I'm just done. And so they just, you know, I've got three kids. And he started just literally crying and emotionally upset right in front of me and my wife. And I said, Jack, and I reached out and I grabbed him by his hand. And I held his hand. I said, Jack, I want you to look at me. Lift your damn head off this table because I'm going to tell you something and you need to hear it. So he kind of gathered himself together and everything, and his assistant, Kim, was there as well, and so was there was one other gal. There was four or five of them around the table at the time. And I said, I want you to look me in the eyes, and I'm going to tell you something. You better take it to heart. Have you talked to God, and God told you tomorrow you're going to die? Then why in the hell would you ever listen to anybody else? Because that's the only one that matters. And if you don't have a relationship with your Lord, you better sure as hurry up and get one. And I have a great one, and I'm here to tell you, God wants you to live. You yourself want yourself to live. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. That's why you're asking me all these questions. And I said, if you let me help you, I promise you, you will have your best chance of beating this disease you'll ever come across. Guess what? Jack Urbach, through CT scans in February this year, totally cancer-free. Not in bones, not in his organs, completely cancer-free. No more body brace, no more painkillers. There you go. And that's in less than 8-9 months. And that's one of the more recent ones. And if you do what you need to do, and if you understand why you're doing it, anybody can beat cancer. I truly believe that. But with saying that, there is always a point of no return. But it's not me curing anything. I'm just helping you understand how your body can not only strengthen itself to the point to where it can destroy the cancer that exists within you, but how you can actually rebuild a much healthier life of living and functioning from an internal body. That's what I'm here for on this call tonight. I'm not here to advocate a cure for anything. But the big C, most people think of the big C as cancer. I've got a new big C that has a whole new definition. It's called a chance. The best chance you'll ever get of surviving a disease or state or an illness in your body. And boy, that thing has given a lot of people a second chance of life. Second chat at immaculate health. But it doesn't happen by accident, and it certainly doesn't happen through ignorance. So all I'm trying to get people to understand is chemotherapy, radiation, I don't care what's on that label, it all does the same thing. It's going to destroy healthy immune system cells, it's destroying cancer cells, and it's all a crapshoot risk. You play in roulette every time you spin that bottle and open that cap or go in and hook up that IV. And the ones that have a stronger immune system will survive it. The problem is those people that survive cancer, over 90% of them have a chance it will be back in part of their life and some part of their organ somewhere else in less than 3 years. 90% chance of reoccurrence. And if you can beat it for 5 years, then you have about a 10% chance of it coming back in your life. Because if you beat it that long, you've actually completely recreated a different functioning immune system that's now capable of destroying it as soon as it tries to develop itself.
Is that why?
And like I said, I can do things today that will increase your immune system functioning by over 500 to 7% increase. I can do things that you can do today that will increase the size of your immune system cell 3 to 5 times larger than any other normal person walking around on the street. I can do things today that would naturally alkalize your body through just taking a calcium supplement and increasing the oxygenation capability of your red blood cell by eliminating floating immune complex proteins, which are nothing more than poorly and completely digested proteins from your meal that circulate in the blood. You clog up the red blood cells, they clog up and start the oxidation accumulation process of plaque and a whole bunch of other negative things in your body. So it's a choice. It's really a choice. And now we're going to get into, if you don't have any more questions about that, I want to get into this juice diet. I want to get into the things that you need to do every single day, every single meal, in order to combat and reverse this whole disease state and issue in anybody's life. Because there are ways to do it. And I'll explain why we're doing it every step of the way, how you're going to benefit, where you're going to benefit. Because I want it to make sense to people. I'm not here to sell anybody anything. I'm here to educate everybody. And anybody that wants to challenge me or to think that this doesn't work like this, or I'm happy to have that conversation. I'm happy to have it right now on the phone call so everybody can get through to a conversation so we arrive at the facts and the truth. And I've had a lot of those conversations over the years. But this is where we're at today. Nobody's going to dispute this. Nobody can deny this. Not saying anything that a really educated person doesn't already understand. So these are the possibilities, and let's change this whole cancer conversation to a great chance at a new life. So did that answer your last question before we go on to our next topic? Or anybody else have any questions at all?
I want to be
they all fit. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions other than Dr. Nancy?
Unmuted.
Anybody? All right, because we've only got about 20 minutes left here. This is a very fast-moving call. Let's talk about the diet. The most critical thing anybody can do to reverse a state of disease in their body is
muted.
Doing the behavior or the diet that's inhibiting your immune system functioning efficiency. And everybody does this. Everybody has different genetic aspects. Some do it more so than others, and you live from the same diet. How many people have sat there and told you, oh, yeah, I picked this supplement and it cured my cancer. So somebody else took it, and only to see they died about 3 weeks after starting it. Didn't save them. Well, why not? It's the same exact product. Because each person's body is different. Each person has different genetic inherited weaknesses. And part of that's digestive, part of it's immune system function, part of it's just a whole bunch of stuff. But we're all different, but yet there's so many different parts of us that are exactly identically the same. Like you can find the genetics and the genes and most chromosomal and DNA, they're all identically the same. The genes are. You might just have a higher or lower enzyme suppressor or an activator related to those genes. And I don't want to get too complicated because I really want to get to the diet. So the first thing is the body has the hardest thing to digest of any food source is protein, especially meat flesh. When the body goes to digest and process meat flesh as part of the diet, chicken, beef, turkey, pork, fish isn't so bad because it really doesn't have muscle tissue fiber for its makeup. It just has tissue. So that's the best source you can live from. Get protein with the least amount of expenditure by the digestive process and the least amount of inflammation created by the whole digestive process. Because one thing about meat that everybody needs to understand, it's called a catabolic food. What is a catabolic food? A catabolic food is a food source that doesn't have enough calories to process itself. And what I mean by that, let's take a 4-ounce sirloin steak, and just for number simplicity, let's say it has 500 calories in the sirloin steak source. But in order for the human body to fully digest that steak and process it all the way through to bowel elimination, the body has to use 710 calories. So where did we just get the extra 210 calories? It wasn't in the food source, so where did we get it to complete that entire process of digestion, consumption, and elimination? We literally had to break down part of our stored fat And when you don't have a lot of fat on your body, now you're actually catabolizing your lean muscle tissue, which is a person's metabolism, the rate at which you burn calories that you've consumed in order to not store any stored fat. That's what metabolism is, the rate at which the body burns calories to create energy. So protein is one of the worst things that you can live from if you're trying to beat cancer or anything else. You're constantly even deteriorating your body even further of stores of energy it may or may not have. And yet every single bit of tissue in the human body has to be made from amino acids, which come from your protein sources. So the point I'm trying to make about this, you can't just cut out protein, even though it's so hard on your body. 50 to 70% of all calories in a protein source are used up just doing the digestive process. And that by the time you're in your mid-20s and 30s, now it's over 100% because you don't have enough enzyme production to even begin to digest the catabolic food source. So you have to switch. You have to alter. You can't keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So what I need everybody to do is to go to a juicing, an all-juice diet, with the exception of fish. You can eat halibut, catfish, tilapia. Eat all the fish you want. Salmon is my choice because it has probably one of the best nutritional profiles and most complete sources of protein of all the fish you're going to eat. So I love salmon, and I really promote everybody to have at least 1 to 2 salmon meals a day. And the other thing is, do not eat a lot of protein. This is this huge misconception. I dealt with it all the way through with Tom Mano, my big powerlifting buddy, all of my bodybuilding career. Four and a half years I was into that stuff. I just was constantly having to prove all these idiots wrong. If you consume more protein than what your body has the ability to digest and what your body requirement needs, that protein is only just going to deteriorate a lot of different tissue in your body and break your body down, making it weaker. You're not going to build anything up. It's going to take you longer to rebuild because you've just taken an excess protein that just clogged up all your red blood cells, lowered your oxygenation, created an acidity pH, created all kinds of inflammation because it's too much and the oxygen's too low. So there's your diet, a perfect example of how the diet destroys a person's health, even an athlete's career. So always remember, you take about a gram, no more than a gram and a half of protein per pound of body weight. And there's about approximately 28 grams to an ounce. So you take your body weight and figure out, okay, I got 220 pounds. You're looking at probably no more than 250 to 300 grams of protein in an entire day. So if we go 280 grams of protein, 28 grams per ounce, that would be 10 ounces of protein for an entire day, not that sirloin steak that you just had for lunch or prime rib that you just had for supper, plus all the bacon, the sausage, the eggs, the ham you had in the morning, and goodness knows what you had for lunch, the hamburgers and whatnot. No, this is daily, and that's the most precise way each individual can determine their protein intake needs. Take your body weight. Minimum is 1. Maximum is 1.5 grams per pound of body weight. And for a bodybuilder with a lot of muscle tissue and very fast metabolism, that's about 2 to 2.5. But for the average person, it's about 1 gram per pound of body weight. And that's what you have to consume every day. But don't do it from meat flesh with muscle tissue. No more pork, no more beef, no more chicken, no more turkey. You're done with that until you've survived and got rid of cancer for at least a year. And liquefy your diet. Liquefy your vegetables and fruits. You know, the body can process a liquefied diet 90% less calories burned and expended trying to process a liquefied diet as opposed to a chewed fish or a solid substance diet. Saving 90% of the calories that your body would use. And if your body's not using up all those calories digesting and processing your meal through the body, just think if you could conserve about 80% of that 50 to 70% of all calories consumed just to do the digestive process of your meal. Imagine what you could do now with about 75 to 80% of that 70%. You could now speed up cellular reproduction. You could speed up the healing process. You could accelerate and dramatically increase the efficiency of functioning of your cellular body. That's what's going to cause a change in health. That's what's going to give your body the ability to rid your body of disease and illness. And it's as simple as choosing a more liquefied diet, choosing to consume way more vegetables and fruits in your diet as opposed to meat flesh. We have just gotten too ridiculously crazy with the meat consumption in this country. It's always been this way since I was probably 25 years old, 20 years old, because I remember barbecuing steaks every night and hamburgers every afternoon and bacon and ham every morning, just the way I was raised. One of the worst things you can do, and you want to have people dying around you, heart attacks and heart disease, strokes, that's a great diet to live from. That happened to every one of my family members. Even my older brother died. My cousin passed away from a massive heart attack. He had his first open heart surgery at 43. My dad had 11 heart attacks before he was the age of 55. My mom died of her heart attack at 53 years old. I was 22 years old when she passed. My dad, he died a few years later. Nobody in my family genetics lived beyond the age of 60, 65, 67. Nobody. I don't think I have one living relative that I can point to that ever hit the age of 70. So I'm literally in the last 10% of my life, according to my genetics, but I refuse to buy into that crap. I've just done way, way too much for too many years, 30 years now. I can't change genetics, but I can certainly improve the chances and the efficiency of what genetics I have to get at least another 10, 15, possibly even 20 years out of my lifespan. And that's the other thing I want to talk about. Did you know that by the time you're because of all of this meat, flesh, protein we're digesting, we're prematurely using up all of our enzymes just to digest your meals. And that is literally taking about 25 years of lifespan off the average person. People should be living to near 100, 105 years old today, virtually everybody. And yet our average age of death for men is 72.4 and 77.6 or 77.8. So we're right now about 75 years of age for the average lifespan in America. And there's lifespans like Okinawa, Japan. The average age of death is 94. And there's certain parts of New Zealand that age is right around 96. What's the difference? Their body functions the way we do. We all have hearts, lungs, kidneys, immune system, cells. The diet they live from. And that's what makes the difference. And like I said, you can pass this down from generation to generation. So let's talk specifically about some of the foods that you want to start juicing. And like I said, salmon is your best choice as far as I'm concerned. Farm raised. I'm not so wild about that. I'd much rather have wild-caught salmon, wild-caught halibut, wild-caught fish. It typically is more expensive, and I'm not sure why, because you have to give these animals that are penned up, whether it be tuna fish or whether it be catfish or whether it be shrimp or lobster farming. You know, they're all loaded with antibiotics, and that's going to destroy your own intestinal flora over time because those antibiotics become active in your body once you start to eat and break down that tissue of your food source. And that's going to destroy your good probiotic flora eventually. So that's why you have to continually take probiotics to replace what the body is naturally destroying through the food source. But just start juicing. So fish, any kind of fish, great diet to live from. Eggs, you want to fry an egg. The yolk, I really don't want to get into a big controversy about the yolk. I eat the yolk, and I'm still convinced that, you know, whole food, there's different factors in food that counteract different other factors. But if you want to eat just the whites, that's probably a healthier choice. And you can scramble them. You can fry them, but try to get a nonstick fry pan where you don't have to use oil and stuff. And there's a fried food you could do. Rice, brown rice, red rice. Try to stay away from the Melrose, the small grain and medium grain white rice. That's really loaded with a lot of starch. Your brown rice is some of your better choices if you do want to have a bulk and a solid food. Eat rice, brown rice especially. Red rice is even higher in protein, and they're pretty easily digested proteins. So keep that in mind for your protein source. And anytime you start liquefying your diet and you find yourself losing a lot of weight, you're not taking in enough protein. You're losing muscle tissue mass. So you're going to have to find a protein powder, some kind of a really good vegetarian protein powder, or an egg albumin powder. Drink a protein powder shake once or twice a day. Supplement those calories that you're not getting in from all of that meat and stuff. And then the vegetables you want to juice, anything that's darker green or darker in color. The darker the color, the more dense the nutrient profile of a food source is, whether it's kale, Swiss chard, mustard greens, spinach, any kind of a bean, snap peas, sugar peas, any of those kind of things. Peppers are really good just to mix it up with a little bit of taste. Asparagus is wonderful. Zesting the lemon is really, really good to put in your water for flavoring. It's great antioxidant. Things of those natures, those are the things that you'd want to juice. And always remember, any kind of time you liquefy your food source, the nutritional value is going to start to deteriorate within about an hour to an hour and a half once you've liquefied it. So it's something you want to drink within the next 2 to 3 hours. It's not something you want to leave laying around till the end of the day or try to make ahead 2-3 days in a row. Liquefied juice nutrients deteriorate real quickly because of their exposure to the air. They're no longer a big solid shell. So always remember to just juice accordingly to what you want to consume in the next hour, hour and a half. Sounds like a pain in the butt, but nobody ever said living a great life of health is easy. It's you create your life, you create your health, and that takes work under any circumstances. Fruits, kind of want to be really careful because some of these faster growing cancers like esophageal cancer, pancreatic cancer, metastatic breast cancer, some of these cancers already have a nature of really growing fast. And too often, sugar actually lowers the pH of the body and is a main contributing food source to cancer cells. Because every single cell in the human body has alpha and beta receptors that receive sugars in those receptor sites on the outer membrane of the cell. And so if you have too much sugar and stuff, you're doing two things. You're feeding and some of the other bacteria in the body that live off of sugars. Everybody knows about yeast. They've heard about yeast. Sugar feeds that kind of bacteria. And that bacteria is bad for your body, whether it's in the bloodstream, whether it's in your tissues of your vaginal area or your anus area. It doesn't matter. It's just very irritating, itchy, and it's not good because it creates inflammation. So sugar actually feeds a lot of this stuff. So bromelain, like I said, has a really good protease that's really good for anti-inflammatory and reduces inflammation. Tom, you can chime in here a little bit. I know you're always talking about cancer smoothies and the specifics on some of that stuff. But don't be afraid to really load up on your vegetables. That's where all of your minerals and vitamins come from. Your fruits have antioxidants and usually are very enzymatically rich, so they actually help to digest the food source.
Ron. We can add, if people want, I'm going to put the cancer smoothie recipe in the next newsletter, and then everybody that gets the newsletter will get a copy of that smoothie recipe.
Great idea, and what I'd like to do before we even go with just the cancer smoothie, let's you and I both spend some time this next newsletter to where we'll have it all together by no later than probably, when is it going to normally go out, Sunday?
Saturday or Sunday.
Okay, well, maybe it's not something I can do this week, but let's plan for the following week. So you put your cancer smoothie in this week, and then we'll get together this next week, and I want to put together an entire dietary eating
protocol.
Really get expansive and very specific with the amounts, the ounces of each one of the food sources that's great for any disease and illness. It just really, and it's not so much that it's great for disease and illness. It really gives your body the highest percentage of nutrition that it can absorb and function from at both an enzymatic and a cellular level. So we'll take the time and make sure that we do that from everybody that lasted on the call tonight. So that's kind of where I'm at, what you have to do and how to do it. And like I said, Tom will put the cancer smoothie up for this Sunday on the Enriching Gifts website. And for anybody that is not a member, and I know there's a lot of you on the call tonight that are not any kind of signed up for our newsletters or anything like that, so maybe there's some place that we can incorporate it somewhere in the website. Or just call Dr. Brewer after the phone call tonight. You'll see his name on the website and get registered for that newsletter. Because that way we can forward it out to anybody and everybody that has an email. And we'll do, definitely do a follow-up cancer meal, food consumption, meal planning for the next week after that. Now, with all that being said, does anybody have any questions? Because we're going to have to end this call because we've come to our full 2 hours already. It's amazing how fast time flies.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Dr. Brewer and Ron,
yes.
The question here is jasmine rice all right?
Pardon?
Jasmine rice.
I still didn't hear what you were asking.
Is it good for the cancer diet?
Jasmine rice?
They want to know about jasmine rice.
Well, if it's white in color, probably it's okay, but you wouldn't want to consume a lot of it because all that white rice is real high in starch.
Right.
Brown rice, red rice, very low in starch, very high in protein.
I always do brown rice.
Red rice actually is very high in protein. It's almost 5 to 8 grams per gram.
Have you?
What?
Red rice?
Did that answer your question?
Well,
yeah, I did for them.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions on the call? Anybody? Nobody? Okay, well, now if it's
unmuted.
Great.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, yeah, this is Carol. I wanted to find out, you've talked a lot about enzymes.
Uh-huh.
Which enzymes would be, like, really good ones to start on?
Well, I just truly see the full spectrum formulation. They have enzymes that are individual, like proteases in one capsule, lipases in another, amylases in another, pancreatic enzymes in another. I just believe in total digestion as not only the meal, but also enzymes that will get in the blood and detoxify anything that comes in the body that's left over from a meal. So you need protease, amylase, lipase, cellulase, sucrase, maltase, bromelain, galactosidase. I mean, I want to address the entire environment of the human body, not just the digestive process.
Besides getting these in our food and stuff like that, is there something we can get the amylase, the prolase?
Yeah, we have a product called Plant Enzyme. That's what I'm saying. I formulated.
That's what I'm looking at on your website. Okay.
It's the plant enzymes. And when you say enzymes in your food, you're only going to get those from living enzymes that come out of the ground. Because I used to work in the grocery industry. I worked for a company called Safeway. I don't know if any people want to know about it, but it used to be the largest company in the entire world in 1977. Jewel T, Sears Roebuck, Wang Computers, before Microsoft was ever even thought of. These were the great big companies in the world. And Safeway was in 17 countries, not just here in the United States. It was in Canada. It was in Japan and Tokyo. To this day, you can go to Dhahran or Riyadh in Saudi Arabia and still see that big old S on the sign in the Middle East.
Uh-huh.
In London, England, France, Australia, New Zealand. They were all over the world. And I was a corporate getting into becoming a district manager for that company when they closed down their doors in the state of Montana, and I left the company. And the whole point I'm trying to point out to this is one of the standard practices when receiving any kind of a food source into a distribution warehouse, whether it be Butte, Montana, where all the trucks trucked out to all the stores across the state, or whether it be a Walmart distribution center, an Albertsons distribution, it doesn't matter. All commercial foods receive foods from the fields and the growers the exact same way. They're all irradiated. They're all irradiated with radiation off the bacteria, the fruit flies, the E. coli. You've heard about E. coli and spinach packages and stuff.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons why they irradiate all foods that come into a distribution center to make it safer for the consumer. Great. And it's also extremely profitable for the grocery industry. It's deadly as hell for you, the consumer. Because when you go to the grocery store and you bite into that really fresh-looking orange, apple, potato, strawberry, whatever it is, that's completely enzyme dead. Don't believe me. Take it home and leave it sit on your counter for the next 3 weeks. It's not going to deteriorate a strawberry. What you're going to create is mold. But you're not going to decompose a strawberry enzymatically because they're all dead. And the tomatoes, you get them in the warehouse, they're completely green, hard as a baseball. I used to throw them at the cement wall in the receiving room and crack pieces of cement off of the wall, and it never even broke the tomato skin.
Wow.
I do this. So, and how do you ripen a tomato? We actually had two different ways of receiving bananas, two different ways of receiving apple, two different ways of receiving, what was the other one? Tomatoes. There was tomatoes, bananas, and apple. You could actually get a banana that's picked green, and it's hard. You can throw it against the wall, and it'll bust in half, but it won't do anything. That's how hard it is. It'll literally break itself in half like a rock. And it's green as can be. How do we get that to where it looks really good for a consumer to buy? You go ahead and you gas it. You put it in a room where you're dramatically heating up the temperature with gas. And when you heat things up, like the human body, when you heat the temperature up of the human body, what happens? You dramatically increase enzymatic activity, especially immune system cell activity. And so what you're doing is you're actually accelerating the ripening process enzymatically, even though it's nowhere near a vine or a root. And as soon as you get that color that you're desired, you think that consumer's going to look at that as a fresh piece of fruit, then you take it out, and then you irradiate it. And that completely kills off all the enzymes, which would actually decompose and digest the food source. So now instead of sitting on the shelf for a month or two, 3 weeks, now your food source typically can last from distribution when it's picked to the actual warehousing and storage to the time the consumer buys it for as much as 20 months. 20 months. That's full year and a half. Where that apple picked in Washington, you can sit there and store it right at freezing after it's been irradiated, the color's been achieved. You can store that right there for almost 2 years, and it'll look like you just picked yesterday. Until you bite into it, and it's all mush.
Sure.
And it's got a real bitter taste. Looks great on the outside, but it's
muted
on the inside. And those are standard practices commercially even done today, even more so today than they did it, you know, back in the 70s when I was working for them. So don't think you're getting all these great, rich, enzymatic foods from your local grocery store. That's the point. If it says certified organic, not grown organic, certified organic, it has a sticker, certification sticker. That food has never been near irradiation, never been near chemicals or pesticides, and it's definitely enzymatically rich. Because 8 times out of 10, by the time you get it from the fields where you picked it, even local farmers market, to the grocery store, it's been 3 days, and it starts to look like crap. You would want to pay good money for that because you got this beautiful, bright red, twice, three times bigger strawberry sitting right next to it. And you're looking at this stuff all blemished, starting to decay and deteriorate, and this is more expensive than this? Oh, no, I'm going to buy this good-looking stuff. That's why it's good looking, because it's all dead. There's no real nutrition. There's no enzymatic activity. There's no aiding in digestion anywhere in that nice, beautiful food source. And those are just the facts. That's the world we live in. That's all the more reason why you have to have a digestive enzyme supplement with every meal you choose to consume. Because your body, as you age, you can't do it. It's not in your food source anymore, because that's what preserves the profitability for the commercial industry, and yet they market it, we do this to kill off all the bacteria and all the other things that would make it safe for a consumer. That's, and it's legit to some point, but that's not why they do it. It's a standard practice because it dramatically increases the profitability and the sale of the food source rather than throwing the food source out the back door because it doesn't look that good.
Just listening.
So, any last-minute questions? We really got to get off the phone here, and I got to end this. And I'll tell you what, we went so long today and everything else. If everybody wants to continue this conversation next week, we're more than happy to go ahead and kind of expand on this a little bit. Because, I mean, this was really fast. We took 2 hours. Hopefully everybody got enough information where, hey, this guy makes sense. Never thought of it.
Unmuted.
Makes sense. So hopefully this is at least opening everybody's minds, understanding what chemotherapy and cancer treatments and nutrition and immune system functioning and all that's really all about.
Ron, I have one question.
Yes.
Book?
Well, I do have a little paperback book. It's even on the e-read on our website, I believe. It's called Enzymes, The Fountain of Life. Or, I'm sorry, not The Fountain of Life. That's my Bible that I read. It's a big medical text enzyme book. I wrote a book called Enzymes for Increased Health and Longevity. And it's, I think, 24 pages, 22 pages, and you should be able to read it on our website if you kind of navigate through there a little bit. And it's,
okay,
what's it called, Enzymes?
It's the main title of Enzymes, but it's in the look in the archives section of the website.
Okay.
And it's just a good introductory to enzymes, some of the food prep that I just talked about. It's not going to go into cancers and disease much. There's a DVD that we have. Did we ever load that up onto the website? The increased health
I watched something today on your website, and it was all about, it was a video, and it was all about enzymes. So
right.
That might be it.
That's the what did we call that? Because we had to change the name of it. Increasing Wellness by Strengthening the Body's Immune System is, I think, the name of the actual DVD that we have, and it's about...
It's Enzymes, Nutrients, and Health.
Oh, yeah. There you go. So it's been changed again. So that's the DVD you want to watch because that does go into specifically cancer, heart disease, plaque buildup through oxidation, gouty arthritis because the oxidizing of uric acid, which is just a natural byproduct of your proteins and your meals.
Is on the archives of your website?
Yeah, go in there.
Okay.
What do you want to do?
We just dramatically uploaded a whole bunch of archived audio.
Muted.
Now we have almost everything anyway for marketing material is now digitized someplace on our internet.
Okay.
So I'd encourage you got to throw it a play around, go in there and look around, and you'll be amazed what you find sooner or later.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Hey, everybody, I really appreciate this. And like I said, we'll try to continue this on a little bit next week if you want to come on the call. We'll talk about this a little bit more after you've had some time to think about all the stuff you got drilled at you tonight. I'm sure you'll have some questions and some clarifications. And so we'll just go ahead and continue this next week as long as we have some callers that are interested in that. Otherwise, we'll pick up on some other topic. But I really appreciate everybody's time, everybody else that came on the call, and my sincerest wish and my plan that I every evening with is that somewhere somebody on this call got some information that they can use to change their life. And I just really pray and wish that everybody could do that for themselves. And in my life, there's absolutely no reason not to because I've got enough education that I can share with people that will dramatically improve your quality of life, regardless of whether you have a disease issue or not. So thanks, everybody, for coming on here. Thanks for putting your trust in us to even take the time to listen. And like I said, hopefully everybody got some information that will help them out better their life. So we will see you next week. Have a great night.